Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3. And you know the story well. God created man and woman. He gave them dominion over the earth. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. He said, "Let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion over the face of the earth." He gave authority unto man. And then man kind of went, and Adam did, went against God, disobeyed him. And as a result, the Bible says, through man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so what happened was, is that God had said that when you eat of the fruit, that you will surely die. Well, they didn't physically die at that moment. What happened was spiritual death set in. Man became separated from God. And so here it was. God created the universe. God created this earth. God created everything that is here that we see for his ultimate creation, which is man, that we would be sons and daughters, and that he could just lavish his love. Why is that? Because the Bible says that God is love. And see, love doesn't work unless there's an object for which it can express itself. And so the very God of love, the love itself, had to find somebody to express himself to. And that was us. But then we went, and Adam messed up, and he separated us from the God of love. But see, God didn't stop there. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Immediately, he spoke something. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." And he's talking to the serpent here, but not just to the serpent. He's talking to the devil that's inside. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And here you have the very first prophecy concerning the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Notice that it said, "I will put enmity between your seed," talking about the devil, "and her seed," not between your seed and man's seed. And so what happened is that God spoke these words into existence. And so that as the years went by, these words were out there. "He will bruise your head. I've put enmity between your seed and her seed." Something was going to happen down the road. And so the earth got so bad that there was only one righteous man left. In Genesis chapter 6, we find that that was Noah. And so to be able to fulfill this prophecy, God restarted population with Noah. And then he went on and he made covenant with a man by the name of Abraham. Glory to God. So I want to do an example here for just a moment, kind of an illustration. Well, hello, Jeff. You're right there on the front row this morning. Glory. It's a new day. So could you come up here and stand beside me, please?
Sure.
since you are here. And Seth's here, but I don't want to use Seth this morning. I think you'll do just fine. Hey, Luis, you want to come up here and help me out this morning?
Get the new guy.
Yeah, get the new guy. This is Luis Sanchez. He's a friend of mine from Atlanta. His father pastors, and his family is from Cuba. And that's how we know each other, is because of Dad's trips down to Cuba and connecting with some of the different ministers down there. So everybody give Luis a big welcome this morning. We see you every week, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Somebody will appreciate them.
All right. So God came to Abraham, and he made seed, made a covenant with his seed forever. Now turn with me over to Genesis chapter 15 for a second. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, he brought Abraham abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, turn with me over to chapter 17. In chapter 17, verse 2, God said, "I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And verse 6, "I will make you exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of these of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." Somebody say kings.
Kings.
"And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and your seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." And the Bible says that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But in this moment, what happened was that God made a separation. God made a separation between what he called his people and the rest of the people. And so, Luis is going to represent God's people.
And I'm the rest.
And because...
I'm everybody else.
And Jeff is everybody else. Jew, Gentile. Now, from this moment on, God began working through... Are y'all good up here for just a few minutes, guys? God began working through his people. God began working through the Jewish people. And so what happened was, is everybody else didn't have an opportunity to receive from the blessing of God. He worked through Moses. The law came by Moses. But the whole time, this wasn't the end result. The whole time, there's some words that are out there. Words are being built upon each other. There's words that says, "I will put enmity between your seed and her seed." They're still out there. And then he starts saying, "I will make kings out of thee." And then he said to Abraham, in your seed shall my children be called. Let me read that exactly right. In Galatians chapter 3, I don't want to get that wrong. Because I want you to see what God was doing. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 16. He says, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Notice that when God was talking to Abraham about his seed, he was speaking not about his offspring as much as he was talking about Jesus Christ that was going to happen down the road. So these words were out there. To thy seed, to thy seed, to thy seed, to thy seed. Now turn with me over to Isaiah. And while we turn there, let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. So what happened to Jeff here? What happened to the people that was outside of the covenant of God? And what even happened to people that was in the covenant of God through the law? You have the curse of the law. You have the blessing of the law. But man still was spiritually dead. Okay? Man still wasn't spiritually reborn yet. And so because sin requires judgment, it still pitted the wrath of God against them. While God was trying to do everything through his love to bring man back, there was still the side where sin had judgment. And so God set up ordinances, and God set up patterns and things for the children of Israel to do to help kind of stay in the protection of God so that they weren't in a place where the curse was affecting them all the time. Now look at what God said in verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. He's building upon what he's already been prophesying. Glory to God. For a small moment, he says, I've forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face for a moment. Now stop there for a moment. There's a powerful thought that comes from this. In a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. It gives you an idea of what was happening in the Old Testament. It wasn't God that was causing bad things to happen. What happened is there's a natural course that is in this world. There is a devil that is out there. And so there is a curse that came on because of sin. Sin came in, death reigned. And so when God wasn't involved in people's life, then they were subject to the natural course of this world. And so God didn't have to physically do anything to anybody. All that he had to do because of man's sin is just step back and allow the natural course to happen. So don't ever get up in your mind that just like what Hannah was sharing this morning, that God takes away, that God is angry with you, that God is doing things to you. That's not the way that he operates. He is a God of love. He never, never causes bad things to happen to people. Y'all are messing me up. I can't move around because y'all are right there beside me. No, y'all are good. You're good. For a small moment, I have forsaken thee, but with great mercy shall I gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But, somebody say but.
What?
With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord thy Redeemer. Again, he's starting to talk about this time. Something's going to happen where he's going to have everlasting kindness on us. And his kindness is connected to his name, Redeemer. Glory. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, in the same way that God said, I will never destroy the earth through a flood again. And we see the rainbows in the sky that represent the promise and the covenant of God. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills will be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on thee. Glory to God. Glory to God. Y'all can hang right there. He said, just getting comfortable. He said, I want you to see the heart of God. Man was an enemy of God because of the sin nature that had taken hold of us. God began to work it out so that man would be able to come back and become his sons and his daughters, glory to God. And he said, there's coming a time that I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to have mercy on you. And I swear, just like I did when I put that rainbow in the sky, that my kindness is going to be everlasting kindness. I will no longer be wroth with you. And he says, the covenant of my peace. Somebody say peace.
Peace.
What is he talking about there? When we were against God, God said, now there's going to be peace that's made between me and man. There's going to be a union again. We're going to be able to walk together. We're going to be able to work together. There's not going to be a separation between me and man. Now turn with me back to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. So we still have, we have the Jewish nation here that, as far as they're concerned, they are the people of God. God's given them opportunities and ways to operate in his blessing and temporarily cover over their sin. But the rest of them, they had no hope. There was nothing that they could do. And chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. We can sing Christmas carols and we can sing these things and we can lose the meaning behind what is being said. Because we've heard them for so many years. But understand that when man was against God and when God was trying to, when God had instituted the plan of salvation and was trying to bring his people back so that there would be peace between him, that all of these words was out there. All of these words had yet to be fulfilled. Prophetic words that were creating conditions so that Jesus could come. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In other words, he's going to reign, he's going to rule. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. This is describing our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. In other words, he's so full of wonder. It's not just he's great. He's so full of wonder that he can't be described. Something that has never been done before. Counselor. Somebody who wants to lead you and guide you into all truth. Show you. Be involved in your daily lives. Counseling you on what to do. How to do it. That is his nature. That's part of who he is. The Mighty God. He revealed the name of Father. If you look at John chapter 17, he said, I have revealed your name, as he prayed to God. I have revealed your name to them. And he was talking about the name Father. Father. Somebody say Father. Father. The Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. Kingdom. Upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with judgment, justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Of the increase of his government. Somebody say increase.
Increase,
increase of his government. Jesus came to establish a kingdom. When he came, he began to preach, the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he went a step further and said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, you would think that everything about the kingdom, that's all there is to it. But how? What does it mean when it says the increase of his government and the increase of his peace, there shall be no end. There shall be no end to the increase.
Amen.
Not that there shall be no end to his government. There shall be no end to the increase. The kingdom of God is within us. And he said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, the government is upon his shoulders. What is sitting upon my shoulders? My head. My head. My daughter gave me a wonderful t-shirt that says, with a body like this, who needs hair? The government will be on his shoulders. The government is in, and the authority is in, the headship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we are his body. And what we are doing is we are taking that authority that exists in him and we are demonstrating it here on the earth. And as we allow his authority to rule and to reign through us, and as we begin to go out and to displace the kingdom of darkness, there are two kingdoms at work in the earth today. And it's not a natural kingdom, the United States versus Russia. Oh no, it is the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. And the children of God need to rise up and allow themselves to walk in the authority that God has given them through the headship of Jesus Christ and begin to displace the kingdom of darkness. And as we will take our right as the body of Christ, and as we will start confessing what the Word of God says about our situation and go out and begin to share with other people what the Word of God says about them and allow God to operate through us, then the increase of his government, the increase of his peace. Now, what about peace? Well, we have this idea around Christmas time that, you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And so that the idea is that there's supposed to be peace among everybody. Just peace. Let there be peace on earth. While here we have a problem. We have God's people. We have everybody else. And these two guys, they don't get along very well. You know, because this guy here thinks, I'm God's man. And looks down on this guy over here. And this guy here, as much as he would like to try to be like this guy, he knows that there's no way. And so there's no peace. And then there's no peace here. Now, turn with me over to Luke chapter 2. Y'all just need a... Y'all just going to stay up here the whole time, I think. That's what you get for moving up front. It's like, oh, man! In verse 6 of Luke chapter 2, so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she, talking about Mary, should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So here you are, you're keeping sheep out there in the field, and all of a sudden, light from everywhere, an angel shows up, and it says that they were sore afraid. I imagine I probably would be too. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Little rabbit trail, why did the angel show up to shepherds? Have you ever thought about that? Why didn't they show up to somebody in town? Why did they go out to the shepherds? Because up to that point, sheep were responsible for our sheep were the sacrifice. And so they showed up to the angel showed up to the shepherds to say there's a new covenant getting ready to be established. And the sheep that you're keeping won't be the sacrifice for people's sins anymore. Glory to God. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
I love the suddenlies of God. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Why did they all show up praising God? Because all of these words that had been spoken for generation after generation, for thousands of years, that had been saying, the day is coming, for unto us a son is born, a child is born, the government shall be on his shoulders, there will no longer be a war between man and between God, there's going to be peace that comes. All of a sudden, it had just been born. All of those words wrapped up into the form of this little child. And they rejoiced at what was about to take place. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Goodwill, not among men, but toward men. Goodwill toward men. Where was the goodwill coming from? It was coming from God. Everlasting kindness. I will no longer be wroth with thee. I will no longer be at war with you. I will always shower you with everlasting kindness. And he says, the mountain shall be removed. We read that. It doesn't say, even though the mountains be removed, it said the mountains will be removed. We find that in Revelations. There will be an earthquake that will flatten this entire earth. It doesn't matter, even in that moment. He says, my kindness shall not be removed from you. We must operate and live out of the kindness that God has towards us and not think about him as being somebody that is angry with us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Wherefore, verse 11. Remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, that's you. You're having some light problems. Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you, Mr. Gentile, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, you were a stranger. You couldn't get in here. And strangers from the covenants of promise. You didn't have access to the covenant of Abraham, and you didn't have access to the covenant of the Mosaic Law. You having no hope. Nope. You had no hope. And you were without God in the world. But now, somebody say now.
Now.
In Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off, you are made near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Here's what happened with Jesus. When Jesus came, glory to God, you have this group of people that understand they were called the people of God. You have this group of people that could not have any access to God. And so what Jesus wanted to do wasn't just to deal with this people here and get them born again, get them renewed. What he wanted to do was to bring both of them together. And so what? There was only one way that it could happen. It had to happen through blood. And so the blood, he went all the way back to the first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 before there was this guy. When this guy was part of this guy and everybody was without a covenant, glory to God. He went back to there and his blood took care of the sin that entered the world, not through Moses, not through Abraham, but through Adam. And so the Bible says there was the first Adam who became a living soul. And then there was the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And he became a life-giving spirit. And so what he did is through his blood, he once and forever settled the penalty that we had to go through. He once and forever took care of the problem that we had, our sin problem with God. And so what he did in one body, the Bible says, is he brought these two guys together, lock arms. And now, through Jesus, he broke down this middle wall that was between them in his own body.
Yes, amen. I'm not just everybody else anymore.
So you're not just everybody else anymore.
No, I am not.
No, now he's everybody else. Yeah. We're all. Say, man, let's just keep going. Just stay right there, guys. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. He is our peace. Mm-hmm. Jesus is our peace. Who has made both one. There is no male or female. Mm-hmm. There is no black or white. There is no, I've said this before. I'm not, if you were to check, what is your race? I'm not white. I'm of the grace race. My race is grace, maybe. Because that's my reality. I am a child of the Most High God. Now the everlasting Father is my Father. Glory to God. Having abolished in his flesh. He's abolished. Abolished means he ain't no more. He's abolished in his flesh the enmity. Even the law of commandments, he did away with the Mosaic law. The thing that man had to do to keep in right relation with God, to make sure you had to do all these rules and your regulations, he even did away with all of that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Contained in ordinances for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace that he, oh, I love this. He first of all in himself through his shed blood, he brought these two guys together.
That's right.
And then now that he's brought them together in himself, now he's able to reconcile both of them to God. That's the progression. They're together now in Jesus. And so now that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. And so now Jesus said, I am the door. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And what you have to recognize in, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9 again. Because as I've been meditating on this and as I've been thinking about Christmas, you know, sometimes we get so busy with buying gifts for everybody, and that's all good, and we can get caught up in all the Christmas traditions and the reindeer and the Santa Claus and the Christmas trees and all the things that go with it, that if we don't watch it, we lose the focus in what we are supposed to be celebrating. And we're not celebrating us, and we're not celebrating who we are. We're celebrating Him and what God did after thousands of years, and how He took us and He made a new covenant with us. Glory to God.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. He has written His laws in our heart and in our mind. He is working in us. I preached this Wednesday night. He is working in us both to will, to do His will, to give us desires to do what is pleasing to Him and to do of His good pleasure. He's doing that on the inside of us. And sometimes we feel like that we have to work this out on our own. Sometimes we feel like that, man, if I could just learn to do the will of God. No, the will of God is being worked out on the inside of you. If you would just believe it, if you would just know it, if you would just receive it and just rest in what in the work that He is doing on the inside, and allow the perfectness of your righteous spirit to start to be manifested in your soul, in your emotions, in your mind, and in your actions and what you do. When Jesus hung on the cross, He said, "It is finished." The work that He did in you was a complete work.
Amen.
And now I'm just allowing that complete work to be manifested in my life. Glory to God. Complete. Verse 6, Isaiah 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders." Now, some people think that that's future, that still hasn't happened yet. But I want you to hold your finger there and go with me to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1. I want you to see what a finished work looks like. In verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." That's the effect that standing in the presence of Jesus had on John. "And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not. I am," somebody say, "I am."
"I am.
I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." This is the victorious King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus, my King, Jesus, my Lord. This is the one that says, "And upon him, upon his shoulders, the government rests. And of the increase of his government, and of the increase of his peace." Now, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Where's that peace? It's the peace that happens, yes, between these two, but how does the peace happen between the Jew and the Gentile? It happens through Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's the only peace. Mm-hmm. We can make laws to try to get rid of racism. We can make laws to, try to deal with, and become politically correct and all those kinds of things to try to create unity in our country. But that's not where peace comes from. Peace only happens not as we try to tolerate one another, right, and try to, you know, be understanding of one another. That's not where peace comes from. Peace only happens in the person of Jesus Christ. When you become part of the body of Christ, when you start walking in love. And not only that, but now peace exists between these two guys because they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yep. They've got recreated spirits. The Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so now because of that, and they are one, now there is peace with God. They've been reconciled back to God. So now I've got peace with God, and I've got goodwill that is going towards me. Now, there's an increase of that peace. As I share the gospel with somebody else, as I begin to talk to them about Jesus and the peace that they can have with God through Jesus Christ, now as that person begins to receive what is being said and makes a decision for Christ, now what has happened? There's been an increase of his peace. That peace is no longer limited to these two guys. Now it's been increased to somebody else. Now what's happened is as that increase happens and as people begin to get an understanding of the authority that God has given them and get an understanding of displacing the devil out of their sphere of influence, if you will, then what happens is there's an increase of his government that is operating here on the earth, and the kingdom of God increases. Glory to God. Stand with me, please. You guys can sit down. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, I told y'all to stand. I told them to sit. Y'all can just keep standing. That works out pretty good. Give them a round of applause, please. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name. Somebody say his name. I would like for us to, can you go with the key of G? Hannah, come here. Let's focus on him this morning. His name shall be called Wonderful. We're going to sing How Great is Our God again, okay? His name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus told the disciples, who do men say that I am? And the disciples said, well, they say this, they say that. But whom do you say that I am? It doesn't matter what other people say about Jesus. Who is he to you? His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Father, right now we worship you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that when we were lost in sin and when we were under control of the power of darkness, that you sent your Son, and through him you have reconciled us back to you so that we can be one, and that your kindness will not be removed from us. Every day we are living in your kindness, Father. Every day we're receiving from your mercy. Every day we're experiencing your goodness, your goodwill that has been given towards us. Every day the mountains shall be removed, Father, but your kindness will not be removed from me. What an awesome promise. And you called it your covenant of peace. There'll never be any more separation between me and you. Let's just sing How Great is Our God. Sing the chorus, Hannah.